We were out of town, so I was glad to hear the choir do a little reprise of their Easter musical. We were visiting family. We were at my mother's home church. They did their Easter musical last Sunday as well, so we felt at home a little bit in terms of Easter musical. You know, my mother's pastor preached a great word last Sunday. It was entitled, "Jesus, Do You Really Know Him?" And as he was getting into the message for that congregation for the day, he told a story that was an interesting story. He said one Sunday morning when a mother went to get her son up to get ready to go to church, he kindly informed her, "Mom, I don't want to go to church today." She said, "Oh, really? Why is that?" He said, "Well, there's two reasons. Number one, nobody there likes me." He said, "And number two, quite honestly, I don't like some of them either." Hopefully nobody here feels that way today. So she said, "Son, you have to get up. You're going to church today, whether you want to or not." He said, "Why is that, Mom?" She says, "I'll give you two reasons. Number one, you're 49 years old. And number two, you are the pastor." To which my wife elbows me. She leans over and whispers, "Hun, you're 49 and you're a pastor. He's not talking about you, is he?" She said, "The Lord has a word for you today," right? Well, in case you're wondering, I love you today, all right? That's for sure. Hey, who's up for some true resurrection living in your life? Amen? I am too. Sign me up for resurrection living. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, the fuller statement of that is recorded in John chapter 11, verse 25. John 11, 25 says this, "Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die.'" And then after that statement, he adds this question, "Do you believe this?" You know, it's interesting. Jesus made this claim to someone who was suffering from the sting of death. You know, that's an easy statement to make. On a day like today, it's beautiful out, family's gathering around, you're celebrating. "I'm the resurrection and the life," an easy statement maybe to make on a day like this, but he made it to someone suffering from the sting of death itself. Have you ever suffered that sting? Is there pain in your heart from someone that you lost, especially if it was recently? So he made this claim to someone who was suffering from the sting of death. See, he was talking to a woman named Martha. And it was Martha whose brother Lazarus had now been dead for 4 days. And not only was she grieving the loss of her brother, but she was also a little upset, maybe even ticked off at Jesus, because Jesus did not arrive earlier upon her and her sister's request to come when their brother Lazarus was still only sick. See, this was a family that Jesus was very close to in his time here on this earth. In fact, it says in verse 5 of John chapter 11, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." In fact, it was Lazarus's and Martha's sister Mary who at one point took the ointment, much like we just anointed this baby. She took ointment, anointing oil, and put it on Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her hair. That's closeness, isn't it? That's intimacy. It shows you the kind of relationship that Jesus had with this family. So when Lazarus fell sick, the scripture records, you back up a little more in verse 3 of John chapter 11, it says this, "So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Hey, they were in a desperate situation here. Have you ever been in a desperate situation? They were in a desperate situation, and they knew that Jesus was not far away. In fact, we're going to read here in just a couple of moments, he was less than 2 miles away. So he falls sick. They're desperate. They knew Jesus was not far away. He was close by. So they sent for him by faith, believing that Jesus could come and heal their brother. Jesus' response to this sending for him was basically this: don't worry about it. God is going to be glorified. It's kind of a nonchalant response to such a desperate plea from these sisters who loved their brother. Don't worry about it. You see, today we know the end of the story, don't we? But I want to ask you to do something with me today. Try the best that you can in your imagination to put yourself on the front end of the story. See, we can read this in just a few minutes. We know the end of the story, but put yourself in Martha's place. Put yourself in Mary's place at the beginning of this story on the front end. See, maybe you've been there. That can help you put yourself in their place. Maybe you've been there in a desperate situation and you reach out to someone you know they could help you. They have the ability, they have the time, they have the means. You're going to them because you know they have exactly what it takes to help you in your situation. And you desperately ask them for your help. And it's almost like their response is, should I wear the blue socks or the green socks today? Right? Have you ever asked for someone to help you that could have helped you and it seemed like they couldn't care less? Or you cry out to God in agony. And you keep crying out and crying out, and it's like the heavens are brass, and you end up saying, God, are you even still there, God? And if you are, do you care? See, I'm not sure how much concern Mary and Martha may have had for God being glorified in their situation, but I do know they did not want their brother to die. I know they were desperate to help their brother Lazarus. Very desperate. So it's very striking. Verse 6, so when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting. Let me ask you, if you learn that a close family member, someone that you love very dearly, if you heard that they were deathly ill and someone was sending for you, would you just hang out for a couple more days? Would you not think about that situation? Are you going to just hang out for a couple of more days? Or do you think that quite possibly you're going to begin to make arrangements to get to them as soon as possible, aren't you? But let's look closely at verses 5 and 6 of John chapter 11. It says Jesus loved Lazarus and his sister. So, now the emphasis here is mine, the bold. Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, so when he heard Lazarus was sick, he waited 2 more days. Now, doesn't it seem like that should read, when he heard Lazarus was sick, he dropped everything, he cleared his schedule, and he left Bethany to get over to Jerusalem? Because it says he loved them. So, Jesus loved Lazarus. So, or because he loved him, he dropped everything and went to be with him, to help him, to heal him. But it doesn't say that. It says, so when he heard Lazarus was sick. In other words, because Jesus loved this family, he didn't go right away. Now, that's counterintuitive to our thinking, isn't it? But that word so there is very, very important to us. So he heard because he loved them. Now, let's not forget this whole development. is to display Jesus' resurrection authority. Jesus stayed away 2 more days because he loved Lazarus, he loved Mary, he loved Martha. He stayed away 2 more days because he loved them, and he stayed away 2 more days because in that love, he was allowing his friends to go through the sorrow. See, we think if Jesus loves us, he should spare us from the sorrow. No, he stayed away 2 more days to allow his friends to go through the sorrow, to go through the pain, not to deliver them from the pain, and to go through the pain of death, and to go through the mourning of Lazarus because he loved them. And he wanted them to witness an amazing demonstration of his power over death and getting to see the glory of God's only Son from the Father. Go with me, if you will, to John chapter 11, beginning with verse 17. We'll pick up the story. John chapter 11, verse 17. Let's go through it. On his arrival. So, okay, now Jesus has showed up. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. How many days? 4. You know, I think that's interesting. Because there was a belief in the day. It was a pagan belief in the culture of the day. There was a common belief that after someone died and they were put in the tomb, put in their grave, that the spirit of that person hovered over top of them for 3 days. So there was a common belief that since that spirit was hovering over the dead person for 3 days, there was a hope, there was a belief that possibly the spirit would re-enter the body and they would be resurrected from the dead. What day did Jesus show up? What's he doing? He's eliminating any doubt that he has authority over death. Even final death in people's minds, right? So on his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 18. Now Bethany, here it is, was less than 2 miles. I mean, you can walk 2 miles in 15 minutes, right? So he hangs out for 2 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to confront them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Here it is, verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here. You ever say anything like that to the Lord? In your prayer time, Jesus, I prayed in faith for 5 years over this. If you would have just put a stop to it. If you had done this, if, right? What'd she say? Verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Wow, that's a heavy accusation, isn't it? Verse 22, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives believing in me will never die. And then here's that question again. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. It says in verse 27, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, here it is again, and said, "Lord, if you had been here," he got it from both of them, didn't he? "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Once again, it's a strange, compared to what we're used to, demonstration of love, but we know it's true love. Verse 37, but some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there's a bad odor. He's been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" You know, there are scholars who speculate that it was specific and intentional that Jesus specified the name Lazarus when he spoke into that tomb, because if he had not had specified Lazarus, he would have emptied tombs all over Jerusalem, if not around the world that day. People would have been showing up for Easter dinner that nobody expected, right? "Haven't you been dead for 38 years? Lazarus, come forth," or "Lazarus, come out." Now we go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verses 38 through chapter 20, verse 10. This was the resurrection of Jesus himself. So Jesus has just been crucified. They've taken his body down, removed him from the cross. And now in verse 38 of John chapter 19, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. So what's it talking about? Well, the spices, the oils, the strips of linen that they would wrap in was custom of the day. Verse 31, at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Chapter 20, verse 1 says this, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And they said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over. This was probably John, because it was the one that said a verse or two ago, it was the one Jesus loved. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, you know Peter, he just kind of blunders through everything. Then Simon Peter came along behind and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its own place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back where they were staying. Now, this is out of John's record of the gospel, which means good news, but I love Luke's writing on this event, because in Luke's record, he includes some additional details around the resurrection of Jesus. You see, as some of Jesus' followers were gathering at the empty tomb, Luke records that some angels had appeared. And one of those angels poses a question, and then he adds to that a reminder, doesn't he? You see, in Luke chapter 24, verses 5 through 8, says this: "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you." I love those words. "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And if you read the accounts of Scripture, he told them on multiple occasions, this is what is going to happen. Going to go to Jerusalem, going to be handed over, I'm going to lay my life down and be crucified, and on the third day I'm going to take it up again and be raised from the dead. He told them that over and over and over. Now here is that day, and here they are at the empty tomb. And the angel says, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, be crucified, on the third day raised again." Then they remembered his words, Luke adds. Now, back to John chapter 20. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's resurrected. They get to the tomb. He is not in the tomb. They did not find Jesus in there, but what did they find in the tomb? Come on, we just read it a few times. Strips of linen, didn't they? John looked in, he saw strips of linen, but he didn't go in yet. Peter, "Get out of the way, you know, I'm going in." And he runs in, he looks down, finds strips of linen in the tomb. And then the head cloth was separate that they wrapped around Jesus' head. We just read it a few moments ago. Verses 5 through 7, he bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along and he saw strips of linen. And the cloth was still there separately. We've already said it a couple times. You see, why are they there? You see, the strips of linen was burial customs. What's burial have to do with? Death. Dead bodies. Graves. Finality. The end. These strips of linen were used back then to prepare and bury dead bodies. They had the look of death. Even before they wrapped a body, they knew, as was custom of the day, what they were for. So even before they got started, they had the look of death. And not long after the burial, they would have had the smell of death. Remember what Lazarus' sister said, "Oh, Jesus," when he said, "Remove the stone." Oh, you know, what are they trying to say? No, 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 don't do that. He's been in there 4 days. There's a horrible odor. So not only did dead bodies, at least after 4 days, have the look of death, had the stench, had the horrid smell of death. You see, the strips of linen were all about the grave. The strips of linen and the headcloth was all about death. But Jesus was now resurrected and alive forevermore, wasn't he? They had the look, they had the stench of death, they were all about the grave, but Jesus conquered death. And he left the grave, didn't he? Oh, today, beloved, hear me, death could not hold him and the grave could not contain him. Yes, praise the Lord, Jesus was alive again. And not only was he alive again, alive forevermore. So he was not about to leave the tomb with the look of death all over him. Jesus was not about to leave the tomb with the stench of death all over him. The linens was there because the look, the stench, the representation, the symbol of death was now gone. He was leaving it behind. He came out in new garments, didn't he? Look at Jesus' instruction after he raised Lazarus from the dead. We go back to John chapter 11. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead, verse 43. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out. Wouldn't that have been a sight to behold? Verse 44 says, "The dead man came out, and his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his face," right? The end of verse 44, Jesus gives some instructions. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go," right? Can you imagine that day? They've rolled the stone away, stench comes out, Jesus calls a man from the dead, and he's all wrapped up in death clothes. But he's alive now, so he comes out. Right? Jesus said, "Get the linens off of him. Get the grave clothes off of him. Get the look of death off of him. Get the stench of death all of him. He's alive again." That's what Jesus is saying. But now I look at the church today. People that Jesus has spoke, called you out of sin. He's called you out of darkness. We even sing about it. Into his marvelous light. He's given you new hope in your marriage. He's helped you overcome temptations. He's delivered you from the bonds and the death of sin. But every day, now, what's happened? Just like Lazarus, you've come out of whatever he's called you out of, but you're still wrapped up in the stink of death. Right? Can you imagine? You come out of your house like this, and your neighbor says, "Where are you going?" "Church." Really? Why? Because Jesus is alive? You walking around like that doesn't look like Jesus is alive. Right? The worship service kind comes. "Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord." Can't get your hands any higher, man. You got the death linens wrapped around you. You're supposed to be alive. Listen, he's delivered you. You claim to have resurrection power, but you're still dead in temptations. You're still viewing things you have no business viewing. Your marriage is no better than it was. You're wrapped in the death clothes of doubt. You have the stench of not trusting the Lord all over you. Proverbs says, "Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord in all your ways, but you're afraid to do it because you called for him like Mary and Martha did. Oh, Lord, would you come?" And he didn't come on your timetable, so here you go. Jesus is supposed to be the head of the church. But you look at a lot in the church today, and it looks like he runs a bunny rabbit farm. Because he looks back, and there's all these people hopping behind him. Right? What are you doing wrapped up in those linens? Those are death clothes. They don't look good. They're not for the living. They're not for the redeemed. They're not for the blood washed. They're not for the ones that is set free. Get those temptations off of you. Get that doubt off of you, that lack of hope, that lack of trust in the Lord. Get your spiritual laziness off. Get into God's Word. Get God's Word into you. He has called you out of the death of this world. Why are you wrapped in the look and the stench of death? Too many in the church that was once dead in sin, but now had the look and smell of death even in their resurrection and their salvation. Hear me today. For Lazarus, Jesus was the voice of resurrection. For himself, he was the embodiment of resurrection. But for you, he is still the truth of the resurrection. He is still not the resurrection of resurrection itself, but you and I have to answer the same question Mary and Martha answered. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Hear me today, beloved. The resurrection is not just something we have faith in. Okay? The resurrection is not just something that we hope for in the future. The resurrection is a person. The resurrection is the Son of God. It's not just something we're hoping might happen someday. It's not some hope deferred thing we keep experiencing that might happen in the future. The resurrection is a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? As the worship team please comes back to the platform this morning, you will find, and I know with some traffic, but on the pew backs near the center aisle, you'll find these strips of linen hanging over the sides that have been prepared for you. There's also a number of strips of linen in the windowsills. Okay? You will see a lot of strips of linen here from the first service. There was a number of people, you know what these represent? That a lot of people in the first service came to church this Easter Sunday morning like this, but they left like this. In freedom, in life, in the hope, and the power of the resurrection that Jesus Christ offers. Listen, he still has authority over death. He is still the authority of resurrection today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me in this place. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate with another Easter benediction song. But I wonder today, see, I think there's two groups of people here that the Lord is after. Listen, I know there's people that come to church two or three times a year, Easter being one of those times. How serious are you about God's love for you? See, we're right here every Sunday celebrating the resurrected Christ, experiencing his power and his goodness. But today I want to talk to those, you're here, maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior and your Lord. Why not today? I can't think of a better day than Easter Sunday. You're wrapped in bondage. You know your life is going nowhere good. You know that. Listen, God sent his Son from heaven to earth. Jesus laid down his life on the cross of Calvary, was nailed to that cross after a severe beating and crown of thorns put on his head. and nailed to a cross because he loves you that much. And the blood that he shed is what God says will wash your sins away. And maybe you're here today and you've never accepted the love and the work of God for you. Can I encourage you today? There's no other way to get to heaven but by accepting what God has done for you and his love for you. And today you can get a strip of linen from the table, the windowsills in the lobby, the windowsills along the sides, along the pew backs near the center aisle. But here's the second group of people today. You're like Lazarus. This is the second group I believe the Lord wants to really minister to today. You're like Lazarus. You were once close to Jesus, just like Lazarus and Martha and Mary. You once had a great relationship with him. You walked with him. You talked with him. You experienced his teaching, his love, his power, his goodness. But somewhere along the line, you took a left, you took a right. And now spiritually or emotionally, even though you knew him and you've received his salvation, you're spiritually dead, you're emotionally dead, you're in the grave today. Yeah, you come to church, you do the religious rituals and the routines of Christianity, but inside, you've got the look and the smell of death. You've lost faith in him. He didn't come to you when you called for him. So now you want it, but Jesus, if you would have done this, if you would have done that, I would have been delivered. My brother wouldn't have died. My parents wouldn't have divorced. My child wouldn't have strayed off. If you would have this, this wouldn't have happened. If, and when. Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. And he's saying today, you don't have to keep going to church like this. You can do what he instructed to have done to Lazarus. Get him off of him. Let him go free. You can leave here in freedom today. So right now, listen, don't wait as the worship team fires up a good Easter song. Go to a windowsill, go to a seat back and grab one of those strips of linen and add it to these others from the first service today. You see, today the altar represents a tomb. And what you're saying is, I'm leaving the look of death, not only death itself, dead in sin. Yeah, I'm leaving that. I'm leaving the look of death. I'm leaving the smell of death. I'm going to receive his resurrection power. Come on, all over this place right now. Come and get a cloth. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, is here. And let's turn this altar into a tomb. And just like Jesus left the linen strips of death here, you're going to leave them here, and you're going to walk in newness of life. You're going to look better, and you're going to smell better. Amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord and let's fill this altar today and drop these linen cloths right here. Right here. Leave it here today. Welcome to pray as long as you like. Why could the sand parade us? and do it again in a second. Yeah, we're going to sing that again in just a moment. But in case we ran out of cloths, we went and got more right here on this pew back. If you didn't get one and you want to make this an exercise of faith today, as we continue to sing this wonderful song of His resurrection authority and power, you can come and get another strip of linen and leave it somewhere here along the front. You to be encouraged today. The resurrection authority and power of Jesus is just as real and powerful today as it was the day He called Lazarus forth, and it was the day that He took His own life up. I got good news for you. Jesus comes to church every Sunday, so He'll be back here next week. We want to invite you back here next week. These altars are always open. You're welcome to pray as long as you want. Those with children, they might still be outside. I'm not 100% sure. But have a happy and blessed Easter. Christ is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. God bless you.